I'm jumping into our teaching today, and I'm excited about the word today and just another step in favor available. How many are praying and asking God daily for favor in your life? Amen. I had a situation come up this week, and I was sending an email, and I said, Lord, before I hit send, I'm praying favor over this email. I need the recipient. I need the person on the other end to read this with agreement and yes, and not argument, not a negative or no. I'm praying for favor. And when you just kind of get intentional about wanting God's favor in your life and wanting his favor on every aspect of your life, man, it makes a difference. And really, really changes your perspective. It just elevates your faith and elevates your mentality and your perspective, your attitude. All of those things fit just right because it elevates our way of thinking on any given situation. And so I'm thankful. If I haven't met you yet, please give me the opportunity. PK is in today, and we would love to meet you. We're always available after the service and look forward to making the connection. We're growing in more ways than one, not just numerical, but spiritual growth. And spiritual growth is the best growth, and we invite you on this journey. I always tell people that visit the church Covington. Sometimes they come the first time, they're like, this is my church. And I'm like, not yet. I need you to come a few more times. Come make sure, because we got different speeds. Some Sundays we're just teaching and talking, and the next Sunday, who knows, I might be doing cartwheels. Well, I'm not quite doing cartwheels, but I might get this chair spinning around. You never know what's happening at the church Covington. So I always say, check it out. Come and see us in all light, so that you can know this is where God is leading you and God is calling you. I have for the last 12 Sundays, or tried to, the Sundays that I've been here, just give a little context for why I am in this seat. 12 Sundays ago, can you believe it's been 3 months, 12 Sundays ago today, I fell while preaching. I broke my leg. And it has been a journey. So this is a temporary seat. I'm on a walker mostly around the house and in and out of the car. But this is the easiest and best way for me to get around the building on Sundays and to teach. I go to the doctor on Wednesday. I'm looking forward to a great report and up and moving and on my way. But today I'm teaching favor available. Of course, the first Sunday we talked about the blessing business. Last Sunday we talked about honor. The word last Sunday blessed me so much. I know I'm teaching, but the word teaches me and blesses me, and I loved the teaching on honor and just the various ways that we need to be showing honor and giving honor and moving in honor, and how it brings favor to our lives. And I'm going to take yet another step in the journey of favor. And listen, I know there is a lot happening in our world. I know. I could easily be teaching, preaching on any of the things that are happening in our world. I promise you, I'm praying about those things. I'm tuned in to those things, but I have just felt so strong that I needed to stay right in this teaching because I believe God wants to strengthen our homes. It's one thing for there to be a war going on in the world, and it's something else for a war to be going on in our homes. I am no good to the world if I'm no good to the people who I love the most and who love me the most. So we have been talking about favor and how we can get favor in our lives and favor in our homes and favor on our money and in our business and the affairs of our lives. But today, much to the happiness of some and probably the sadness of others, I'm gonna talk about favor on our marriages, and I want to teach for a few minutes about my favorite spouse. Favorite spouse, F-A-V-O-R. Favor is the root of that word. How many are married in the room today? Just wave your hand at me. Lots of married folk. How many are single in the room today? Keep your hand up a little longer. People are looking around, seeing who's single. You never know. You never know. You never know what God may be up to. Amen. We need favor on our marriages, and if you're single today, if you're of age, you may be wanting to be married at some point. Again, maybe you've been through a divorce, maybe you've been through a challenging season, but you're starting to believe again, or hope again, or just consider again what God may have for you. And so I want you to tune in and listen. if you're young today, I know our high school, our junior high are in the room today, and I hope to gross you out today, just completely ick. But I want you to hear what I'm saying today, because the absolute worst time to start learning about marriage is the day after your wedding. So if you're 16 or 17 or whatever now, I want to start getting some word in you, because Lord knows if you're on social media, you're getting a complete opposite idea of what makes relationships work from celebrities and from people who just do not value relationship or marriage or purity or any of those kinds of things. So I hope to gross you out, but I also hope to teach a little bit today and get a baseline of word in you, because again, if you're in the dating thing, if you got a girl you like, if you know, hey, check yes, you know, for this or that, wherever you are in the process, these principles are important. And if you're just not interested in any of that, I promise you these principles will work for every relationship in your life. And I'll say it because I'm gonna be a good pastor, but if you're casually living with someone, I'm gonna call you higher today. I'm gonna call you to a higher place in the things of the Lord today with favorite spouse. This is my favored spouse. I want my spouse to be favored of the Lord. I want our marriage to be favored of the Lord. And I'm gonna give you a big clue right now. Your favorite spouse is the one you're with right now. It's the one you're with right now. Well, I had this boyfriend in high school, and now that I think about it, he was so No. You missed that. That ship sailed. The one you're with right now, you gotta make that work. You gotta make that work. I'm gonna look them up on, I'm gonna see where they are after all these years. I'm gonna see if they gained weight or got ugly, or I just wanna check. No, the one you're with right now, that is your favorite spouse. Why? Because as we've said each week in this teaching, I don't want God to bless what I'm doing or what I think is right or what I think is best. I want to do what God is blessing. I want to be obedient to His word. I want to be in agreement with His word. I want to be following His path and His plan for my life and His plan for marriage. Because maybe you tried it your way and it didn't work. Maybe you feel like it's not working right now. But hear me, the answer is not divorce. Answer is not divorce. Pastor, you're repeating yourself. I know, because somebody is not convinced that I said what I said. And I'm not. This message is not about all of the reasons why. Because this is not about guilt. This is not about shame. This is not about pointing a finger at anybody. If you're in an abusive situation, if there's infidelity happening in your relationship, if there's just complete craziness going on, I understand there are reasons, and you need to protect yourself, and maybe getting out and getting away is the absolute right move for you. I know there's exceptions to every single situation that we could possibly present today, but regardless of all of that, the Bible still says that God hates divorce. So we got to hate what God hates, which means we got to work as hard as we can. Got to work as hard as we can. Hear me. When there's abuse, I've told people, you need to get out. You need to move. You need to go. You need to do something. You cannot live in that. You got to protect yourself. So don't think that I'm some crazy idea that says you got to stay in bad situations. That's not what I believe. But I also know that marriage is hard. And we're divorcing nowadays over just any reason. Just any reason. I've said it before, but PK and I have a lifelong friend that was getting married, and he was not a faithful boyfriend. He was not he just didn't have that in him. He did not have the willingness in him to be faithful, and we knew, everybody knew, that he was cheating as a boyfriend, and then asked her to marry him, and we were a few years older than her, but friends, and just speaking as older friends, hey, you need to think about this. You need to think long and hard about this. And I never will forget her response. She said, "Ah, if it doesn't work, we'll just divorce." And I thought, and guess what? They did. And it's mind-boggling that people go in to marriage, go into relationships, not thinking long term, or thinking it'll just be so easy to get out of this. But I have a feeling that the reason it isn't working is because we're not doing it God's way. And again, this is not about shame. This is not about guilt, because everybody in this room, even the one with the microphone today, has lots of room for improvement. I don't need any amens from this front row over here, but all of us, men, when we have room for improvement. But what I know is true is that most of us are waiting on the other one to change. Here's a question today. What if we made a decision? What if you and I speak to every man, I speak to every woman, every couple. What if we made a decision? What if that decision turned into a commitment to do it God's way? Because we want to do what God is blessing. We want favor on our relationships. How different would our marriages be if we made a decision that became a commitment to do it God's way? Because there is an attack on marriages. And I'm not saying that to excuse everything he's doing. I'm not saying that to excuse everything she's doing. There is an attack on marriages. That means there is an attack on my marriage. Us not making it, my wife and I not surviving, would be a big score for the devil. You not making it would be a big score for the devil. So he's attacking marriages. And that's what I want to focus on for just a few minutes today, because we can beat the devil at his own game. Genesis chapter 2, it's going to be on the screen if you want to follow along with me today, or you're taking notes or have your Bible with you today, or pull it up on your device. Genesis 2, 22, 3, and 4. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. This is an old text, and the modern ideas of marriage, they don't like this, you know, woman came from man, and we know, just quick recap of creation. God knelt in the dust, in the clay, and he formed man in his image, in his likeness. He shaped man, and then man was alive. He pulls a rib from the side of Adam, and he uses that as the foundational piece to form the woman. And that's exactly what they say, for this cause. A man will leave his father and mother and will be united to his wife, and they become one flesh. They become one flesh. Old, but way back to the beginning of mankind, we've become one. We are united. If you still have memories of the wedding day, they probably did a unity candle. Unity candle. We've done the unity candle. I've done so many weddings throughout the years. I've tied lassos around people. That was a tradition. I've seen ropes and tied people with ropes. Just anything to connect at their request. Not, you know, don't think weird stuff. But the lasso, there's been a circle on the floor, and the couple has gotten into the circle of roses, and there's a candle nearby, and we talk about coming together as one and being in unity. And we remember, however you did it, whatever it looked like in your particular ceremony, we remember the unity candle. We just can't remember why we became one. That's what we start to struggle with. We remember doing it, we just can't remember why we did it. Because things changed, things happened. This is not as fun as it was in the beginning. The honeymoon is over. We've been at this now a few years, and life has happened, and bills came, and they plugged up the toilet, and I mean, just all kinds of stuff have happened. All kinds of things have happened. And now we're wondering, where is the love? That's what people say now when we just don't love each other anymore. We ran out of love. But hear me, to say you're divorcing because you ran out of love is like saying you're selling your car because it ran out of gas. The answer is to fill the tank. The answer is to get back to the basics. The answer is to get back to doing what you did in the beginning. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. The word united is an old Hebrew word, and it's really tough to translate these old Hebrew words because get it to break it down to one word, because it really is this paragraph description. But united is the word dabak, D-A-B-A-Q. It means to cling or to adhere, to catch by pursuit, to pursue hard with affection and devotion. And this definition, it really does describe those early days, those early months, those early years of our relationships. And then, of course, life happens. Life happens, and things get difficult, and things get challenging. There's an old story in the Old Testament. I don't have time to teach the way through it, but let me just give you a synopsis and just kind of a cliff note version. It's Jacob who was working his father's herd. He stops to water them, and Rachel comes with her father's heard, and Jacob sees Rachel for the first time, and she's beautiful. The Bible says that she's beautiful. Jacob, it's love at first sight. Bible, it's wild. He goes back to her father's house, Laban, and he works there for a month or so around the house and fixing things and just getting to know everybody. And then he gets up the courage to ask Laban, this beautiful Rachel's father, if he can have his daughter for marriage. And he says, sure, you can have her as your wife if you will work for me for 7 years. And so Jacob, so in love, happily says, sure, I'll work for 7 years to get the love of my life. This may surprise you. This is actually in the Bible. He works for 7 years. And at the end of 7 years, it comes time for the wedding. They go through the ceremony. I don't know how this is possible. I don't know how this happened. It must have been pitch black, dark night at the wedding. But Jacob gets into their room for the night. And when the veil is removed, he finds out that he just married Leah, Rachel's older sister, whom the Bible is kind enough to tell us is not nearly as good looking as Rachel is. That's what the Bible says. Rachel is beautiful and Leah is not. I don't have pictures to show you. I don't know. But Jacob is not happy. He goes back to his father-in-law, Laban, and says, what in the world have you done? I am madly in love with Rachel. I do not love Leah. I'm wildly attracted to Rachel. I'm not attracted to Leah. What is going on? I wanted Rachel. And he said, all right, if you'll work for me another 7 years, you can have Rachel. Because he said, in our custom, in our tradition, the younger daughter is not married off before the older daughter. So you had to take the older daughter first. But what's interesting, because we tell that story, and I've read that story through the years, and I honestly thought Jacob had to work another 7 years before he got Rachel. But that's not exactly what the Bible says. The Bible says that he got Rachel and then continued to work another 7 years. In other words, he got the marriage, he got the wedding, but he kept working at it even after the ceremony. How many of us have continued to work at it after we got the person that we wanted? How many of us have continued to pursue with affection and with devotion? How hard have we continued to work to get favor on our marriage? That's a question you've got to answer. It's a question I've got to answer. It's a question we have to come to terms with. Am I working at this relationship? Do I just assume, you know, wait a minute, I've got a job that works me 50, 60 hours a week. I've got a job building a home and raising kids. I've got a job. And then the relationship is just supposed to be easy. Ladies and gentlemen, the relationship is not easy. It is a challenge. It is difficult. There is misunderstanding. There is betrayal. There are hurt feelings. There are all kinds of things that you can write in that may be your story, but you and I have to keep working. And again, there's no shame and there's no guilt. And no one is getting beat up today. It's just two people who have enough grace for one another. And I'll say this for what it's worth, and I hope you'll take it to heart. But it becomes impossible to have favor on your marriage if you make that spouse work too hard for it. If you're never satisfied, if they can't ever make you happy, if you make forgiveness just too far out of reach, they're going to give up. They're going to shut down. They're going to throw in the towel because it becomes impossible if you make if you make repentance too hard or forgiveness too hard. I mean, folks, our Lord and Savior forgives and forgets. Us, not so much. We don't forget. We don't forgive. We don't let go. We don't turn loose of it. We hold on to it. And there may be issues that need resolution. There may be things that need to be talked through and things that need to be dealt with. And I encourage every single one of us, myself included, let's do that. Let's do the hard work. Let's have the difficult conversation. Let's get it settled once and for all so that we can get favor on our lives. But with the time I have remaining, I want to get really practical today, and I want to help you, because if in any aspect of your relationship, in whatever the relationship is, if you will apply any one of these three things, and hopefully all three of these things, it's going to make a difference in your marriage. Look at your spouse if they're in this room and tell them, "You're my favorite. So here's the first one. When you think something good, say it. When you think something good, say it. Something good, something kind, something affirming, something positive, say it. You mean every time I think something good, say it? Yeah, every time. Well, that's all we're going to be talking about. Woo! Again, what? How much better would our relationships be? How different would our marriages be if every time we think something good, we verbalize it, we vocalize it? Because as frustrated as you may be, as mad as you may be, as angry as you may be, I guarantee you there is still something good. Still something loving. There's still something special about your spouse. I'm not telling them that because I'm mad at them. I'm not going to say that because then they'll think, you know, I'm letting them out of the doghouse. I'm going to let them off the hook, and I can't do that. It's crazy. Why would we ever think something about our spouse and then rob them of knowing what we think? Set those thoughts free. Speak them, write them, text them. Do something with them. Just don't keep them to yourself. Hebrews 3 and 13 says, "But encourage one another daily." Not just on their birthday. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You know, Pastor Darrell, once I get mad, I usually keep it a few days. Daily. Encourage one another daily. Again, how different do you think our marriages would be if every single day we did something to build one another up? Generally, men and women give and receive love in different ways. So men, let me challenge you. Pursue her with words of affection. Huh? What are those? Pursue her with words of affection. She wants to know, do you love me today? That's the thought going through her brain. Does he love me today? Does he love me today? Women, pursue him with words of affirmation. Because it may surprise you how great he is at acting tough. He can become what you see in him. He may not see it for himself or see it in himself, but he can become what you see in him, because he wants to know, do you believe in me today? Do you believe? Do you believe I can provide? Do you believe I can make a way? Do you believe I can protect? Do you believe I can make a way for this family? So when you think something good, say it. Here's the second one. When you think something special, do it. When you think something special, do it. You don't have to save the special for anniversary or birthday. Your spouse, your favored spouse deserves special often. I'm not defining what that is. I don't know what y'all's thing is. I don't know what y'all like. I don't know what makes either one of you tick. But if you think something special, go ahead and do it. If she likes the flowers, budget the flowers in. If you think something special, do it. James 4 and 17 says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it's sin for them. If I know I can do something good that's going to make a difference in our relationship, that's going to make a difference in our marriage, if I know this is the right thing for me to do, then I want to do it. I want to do it because it's going to make that difference. It's going to be a game changer for our relationship. Watch her show with her, guys. It's only going to last, 30 minutes, maybe an hour. Watch the show. Take time for his hobby. Act interested in the things that interest them. Why? Because they're my favorite. They're my favorite. I want to do what they want to do. That doesn't mean that both of you don't deserve your own time and your own, man cave or she shed or whatever. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't get away with girlfriends or the fellas. No. That I'm talking about all of your time with one another. But get something that both of you like to do, and you do that together. But also take interest in what she's interested in. Take interest in what he is interested in. Versus always dismissing the other. That's what she does. I'm not doing that. That's his thing. I want nothing to do with that. Get interested. Carve out some of the time, part of the time. If you think something special, do it. Here's the third one. Here's the third one, and I'm closing. When you want something different, be it. When you want something different, be it. Because it is our human nature. It's just how we're wired. Men, women, flesh, sinful nature. We see the other person as the problem. It's true of all relationships. I wish they would do this. I wish they would act this way. If only he or she was more attentive or less complaining or sweeter or more romantic. Again, how different would our marriages be if we stopped griping about what they are not, and we allow the Holy Spirit to make us who we need to be? That's a heavy question. I get it. It's a lot to process. How different would our relationships be if we stopped telling them what they're not and we allowed the Lord to make us who we need to be? What if I became better? What if you became better? You husband, you wife. What if each of us became better people? When you think something good, say it. When you think something special, do it. When you want something different, be it. And I can't speak too good to ladies, because I'm not one. Don't understand any one of you. Confession is good, and that felt good. Got no clue. But men, I are one of you. I understand you. And as men, we need to lead. We often talk or sometimes demand the respect as the head of the house. Let's talk less and lead more. Let's demand less and demonstrate more. Let's lead spiritually and be the God man, the God man. I am so grateful for strong men in this house. And I say that, and I don't say that with any chauvinism whatsoever, because I thank God for ladies. We have lady leaders and teachers, and I mean, if you've been around here any amount of time, you know we celebrate women and put women in positions of authority and all of that. I believe in that 100%. But there are so many churches in America that, I mean, there's 97 women there and 2 men. And we have a strong representation of men who love God, who serve, who are faithful, leading spiritually, becoming the man that God has called them to be. Not perfect, no. But striving and reaching and asking God to help. Women are by nature multipliers. You give them a little bit, they're going to turn it into something. Give them just a few ingredients, and they're going to make a meal out of it that's fit for a king. You give them, I'm sorry, honey, this is all the house we can afford right now. This is all we can do right now. But give her a little time. She's going to turn it into a home. Beautiful, comfortable, clean, and safe. And if as men we can give them what they need, they'll make more out of it. And if we can give them ourselves, they're going to make more out of us. But speaking to all of us, to couples and relationships, to get what you once had, you're going to have to do what you once did. You're going to have to work at it. Is it going to take me 7 years? I hope not. Not. But I feel this strong in my spirit today. Come back next Sunday. Come back the next. Not exciting teaching today. This is some surgery. Last couple of Sundays, God is doing on our hearts and our emotions and speaking to our minds. And I challenge you, take time this week. Go back. It's always available on YouTube. It's in the archive. Facebook, go to the website and catch the podcast, listen to it. While you're out for a walk on your earbuds, let the word get deep into your heart, deep into your spirit. Because starting today, why not? If you think something, say it. If you think something special, do it. If you think something different, be it. Father, I pray today for marriages. Pray for marriages. Because really, this message sort of demands one of two responses. Either the couple that's under strain and living in stress right now will walk out of this room and get into their car and ride quietly home, knowing each other's thinking about what was taught, but never speak of it. But hopefully they'll just start doing it. And one will recognize the other, and the other will see the one and realize, hey, he's trying. She was listening. I don't have to point it out. I don't have to. I'm praying, but please don't leave here and look over in the car and say, did you hear what he was saying to you? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. The other response is the couple that's got challenges and difficulties and stressors, it all comes to a head, and all of a sudden there is another argument, another outburst, another ruined day because of too much emotion, too much volume. I pray, Lord, that you would be peace. Be the peace I need in my heart today. Be the peace I need in my mind today. Slow us down. Slow us down so that we can be quick to listen and we can be slow to speak and slow to anger. Devil, I know you're listening too, so I rebuke you today. I rebuke you from the constant attack on our marriages and our homes. Get out. From this moment on, you will not have the same foothold. Whatever thoughts you've been planting and using to distract, go. In Jesus' name. We do not give place to you. We rebuke you. Today we declare there is victory and there is life and there is healing. There is health and there is favor in our homes. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would every married couple stand? Would you just afford me that? We're going in just a moment. Every husband, wife, if your spouse is not here, stand. Stand. Beautiful. 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 Oh, 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 one more time. Oh, it's about to be a love song. Would you stretch your hands toward every married couple? I'm not trying to leave anybody out. I'm not trying to point anybody's singularity out. But would you just pray? Would you just pray? Father, I thank you for strong marriages. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for forgiveness moving in this room right now. We have been forgiven, and so we forgive. And we set them free. The expectation that we have of our spouse, sometimes the unhealthy expectation that we have, the hoops that we're demanding they jump through, the difficult path that we're asking them to walk, setting them up for failure. No, today, Lord, all of that ends. And I speak happiness and peace and joy and strength and favor in Jesus' name. Oh, 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 come on, everybody, stand. And if you're in this room today and I know it's crazy to teach on marriage, but you feel drawn to God. You may be a couple trying to find your way in the things of God. Start with repentance before God. Start there, repentance before God, and then repent before one another. God will forgive. God will set you free today. Beautiful and incredible. But if you're married in this room and it's a struggle, let us help you. Let us walk with you. PK and I are available. Conversation, counsel. We do everything we possibly can. We may set you up with another couple in the house to say, just talk to them. Just walk for a minute. Because God is here to help us. Amen. He's here to help us. I bless you today. Pray you strong and well able today. Don't let this week get too heavy. I know the news is going to pour in, but just stay in a place of peace to just keep trusting God. And when you don't know what else to do, say or pray. Just say, oh, oh. They're going to sing it one more time. If you need to go, God bless you. We love you.